Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and a daily editorial where I am introducing a relatively new company in the markets and a new company on the website. I am chatting with Nucor Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NCAU. Luke Alexander, the president and CEO, is joining me right now. We have a lot to talk about here, Luke, as the company has just come out with an updated resource for the project and also initial results from an 8,000-meter drill program. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Nucor Gold is focused in Ghana and this Enchi Gold project. Now, Luke, let's just get a quick little background on this Enchi Gold project in Ghana. What drew your focus here?
Thanks a lot, Corey, and thanks everyone for listening in. The Enchi project in Ghana, it's a district scale exploration project with multiple targets across it. To date, we've drilled about six of the 25 plus different targets. A lot of good neighbors in country and a very good deposit in the sense that what we've drilled to date is primarily oxide material, and there's a lot of different opportunities for us to go after in the future.
So in terms of past work, what drew you guys to this project and own it 100%? How much historic work has been done at Enchi?
That's one of the things that really drew me to it is the amount of work that has historically been done. And as a result, I view it as lower risk exploration. So there's about 88 kilometers of trenching, RAB drilling, diamond drilling, and RC work that's been done across the entire property. About 50 kilometers of that work feeds our 1.22 million ounce resource, and ultimately we see a lot of upside from here based on the number of different targets and district scale potential that the Enchi project has. And being in Ghana, it's a great country, so that's another thing that drew me to this opportunity.
Okay, let's talk about that recent resource that was released about 2 weeks ago, September 14th. As you mentioned, it's an inferred mineral resource of just over 1.2 million ounces of gold, grading 0.72 grams per ton. This is a fairly significant increase from the last resource issued during the PEA of a little over 700,000 ounces. Luke, can you give us a little indication of where this growth came from and where you still see some growth opportunities for this resource, please?
Yeah, so the resource in the 2015 PEA was 721,000 ounces. As you've highlighted, that's grown to 1.22 million ounces. That's all in pit and pit constrained resource. Where the growth came from was some drilling that we did in 2017, 2018, as well as given the current gold environment, we've increased the gold price to 1,500 and also dropped the cutoff to 0.3 to reflect more of the current environment we're in. In the 2015 PEA, those were run at lower numbers, 1300 and a 0.5 cutoff. So those are some of the things that have fed the updated resource. And ultimately, to date, we've only drilled down to an average of 50 meters, focusing on the oxides. But where we've seen deposits like this, particularly the Chirano deposit, which Kinross is 200,000 ounce a year producer, 50 kilometers to the north of us. Where we've really seen these types of deposits grow is when we start to drill at depth, and that's something that we'll look to do at some stage in the future, is put the first deep holes into this. To date, the deepest holes have gone down to about 125, 150 meters vertically. So that's where we see some real opportunity for upside to this resource that we put out a couple of weeks ago.
All right, let's talk about some of the near-term catalysts, which really are this 8,000-meter drill program. We got some initial results that just came out yesterday, Monday, September 28th. You have drilled, it looks like, 22 holes here of this total 60-hole program. Again, this is 8,000 meters, so you're not going down too deep with these holes. Some of the headline numbers here showing 1.67 grams per ton gold over 47 meters, including a little over 3.5 grams per ton over 10 meters. Now, these grades, they are higher than what you're seeing in the resource. What do you want investors to understand about these initial results from this program?
Yeah, we're really excited to get the first batch of results out. It continues to support the thesis that we've got significant ability to expand resource, the oxide resource. Again, these are targeted holes in the oxide, and they're all step outs along strike at Boeing or down dip from previous holes. So all of our resources, Boeing, Suam, and Niam, all of them are open along strike as well as at depth. And this kind of continues to prove out our view that, you know, there'll be additional resource that we'll be able to add at surface by continuing to drill. So this was the first 13 holes that we released. We've got another 9 holes that are in the assay lab at the moment. And what we'll do from here forward is continue to release in batches of 10 or 15 holes at a time. So expect another three to four batches to come out over the next couple of months. And we're hoping to continue to prove out that concept that we are going to be able to expand the size of these pits and ultimately expand the size of the overall resource. And then we're also targeting some areas that we've only had limited drilling done where there isn't current pits or resources, and we're hoping to, with further drilling, start to prove out that there's additional deposits, in particular Kojina Hill and Quackrom are areas that we're going to be going back to, as well as a brand new area where we've done a bunch of soil sampling, and we think it's a very exciting target called Nkwanta, and we're going to put our first holes into that for as part of this 8,000 meter program. So expansion of existing resource where we've got that defined, and then going back to Quackrom, Kojina Hill to hopefully bring those into the resource inferred resource category, and then obviously targeting Nkwanta for the first time. So we're really excited to get all of these results back and out to the market over the next month and a half or two.
Okay. Yeah, the aspect of this drill program is really much focused on expansion, finding either new deposits and building on the current deposit. Can you give us a little bit of background in terms of how large the deposit is in terms of strike length now in that current resource and how far these step outs are going from that current resource?
So we've got three resource areas identified at the moment. So Boeing, Suam, and Niam. The Boeing, I mean, the anomaly stretches for 10 or 15 kilometers. So these are big anomalies. The step outs that we're doing are anywhere from 25 to 50 meters, depending on the area. If you look at our block model for Boeing, and I'd encourage you to visit the website to look at that for both Boeing and Suam, you'll see that there's a couple of big gap areas that sit within the current resource areas. And those are simply areas that we haven't drilled. The soil work that we've done shows that there is potential gold there, as well as the anomaly runs directly through those areas. So those are areas that we're going to focus on and we view as low-hanging fruit from an exploration perspective. But these are big anomalies that we're targeting. And ultimately, to date, we've only drilled on 6 of the 25-plus different targets across the entire package that we've got. Where we find the mineralization in this type of in this type of greenstone belt is ultimately, we've got the Bibiani Shear, which runs to the west of us, and where the mineralization typically sits is in the second and third order splays that come off of that main Bibiani Shear. We've got three of those splays or shears that come through our 40 kilometer long property, and if you add up the strike length of those three different shears, we've got about 100 kilometers of total strike length. So needless to say, there's real district scale potential here, and one of the reasons why we're so excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, and a target-rich environment, right? Over 25 targets that obviously you're trying to get to as many as you can right now. You did also mention the potential of resources at depth, drilling deeper. That's not part of this current 8,000-meter program, though, right? That would be a follow-up program?
Correct. At the moment, we're just doing RC drilling. The deepest holes are going down to probably 150 meters vertical, where, again, if you look at Toronto to the north of us, where they really started to hit higher grade was when they started drilling down to kind of 200, 250 meters vertically. And ultimately, that's something that we would look to do in the future. And once you get down through the oxides and transitional zone into the sulfides, that's where there's the potential to really increase the grade. Part of the drilling that we're doing with this program is better defining where those structures and chutes are, and ultimately that will feed into future drill programs where we will look to drill deeper and start to make some discoveries at depth.
All right, let's quickly talk about the jurisdiction that this Enchi Gold Project is in. It's in Ghana. Some people might think of Ghana as maybe a lower quality place to be, but quite frankly, it's Africa's number one gold jurisdiction. And even in your area, you guys have a lot of other majors that are either running mines or very active in the area. Give us a little background of what other companies are around this Enchi project, please.
So Ghana is a great jurisdiction to operate in. To put it in perspective, it produces 4.8 million ounces per year. It's Africa's largest gold producer and is the seventh largest gold producer globally. So needless to say, with that comes a ton of large companies operating in country, as well as a very well aligned government. It's important to the tax base, as well as very skilled labor force in country, which we're able to draw on, and services. Our assay lab is in country. Our drilling company has a maintenance shed with multiple drills in the yard sitting a four-hour drive from us. So being able to draw on all that expertise and in-country service is a real benefit. In terms of specific companies, Newmont has two producing mines in country. They produce over 1 million ounces in country. One of their mines sits to the north of us, 15.5 million ounce deposit called the Yafo mine, directly to the north of us. As I've mentioned, you've got Chirano. That's about a 5.5 million ounce historical deposit there, currently producing 200,000 ounces a year and expanding. If you look at their exploration update, as well as the drilling that they did in Q2 of this year, they're still continuing to expand that resource. They're producing down to about 750 meters. And that's where, when you look at that geological model and compare it to what the potential is at Enchi at depth, is where we get really excited. They're producing down to 750 meters, but they've made discoveries down to about 1.2, 1.3 kilometers. And, you know, that's into the high grades that we've kind of talked about.
Let's talk about team now, because it's one aspect that really drew me to this company. Some of the past successes from management and directors. We have Newmarket Gold that was bought out by Kirkland Lake for over $1 billion. Integra Gold that was taken out by Eldorado. Northern Empire, that was a recent takeover. And these guys are also involved with Calibre Mining right now, which is a multi-asset producer, actually. What other background can you give us in terms of your background and the rest of the team here at Nucor?
So I've spent the past 15 years of my career on the sell side, investment banking, capital market side of the business. 12 years was in London working with a lot of the big global natural resource funds over there, advising them on investments and working with TSX, ASX, and UK listed companies to help raise capital and advise them on various transactions. That's where I got to know a lot of the team involved in Nucor. Doug Forrester, we worked very closely when he was the CEO of Newmarket, and he's one of the founders of Calibre. When he approached me to join as CEO, I asked if he'd step up as chairman, and he said absolutely. And Doug's someone that I've held in very high regard throughout my entire career, having worked with hundreds of management teams. Greg Smith, he's a very important part of our team. He's our VP exploration, over 30 years of exploration experience. He was running Calibre up until they did their transformative acquisition last year. And when it became a producer, he stepped away and joined us full time as VP exploration. But if you look at Calibre, they've created about $500 million of shareholder value and counting. You talked about Integra, so Integra Gold and Integra Resources. George Salamis, he's on our board. Doug Hurst is on our board. He was the executive chairman at Northern Empire, which was another big success story for shareholders. He was a co-founder of Newmarket. So yeah, you've highlighted it. For a company of our size, I think it's rare that you find a management team and board that's as strong as this.
So a couple other fundamentals to talk about: share structure, about 80 million shares outstanding. Company also has no warrants issued, only 8 million options as well. So a tight share structure. Give us a little insight in terms of what management insiders own and any other large shareholders, please.
Yeah, so 80 million shares out, as you highlighted, 39% insider ownership. What I always like to highlight about the insider ownership is this isn't a deal where we issued or gave ourselves a bunch of stock at a penny a share. We've all put hard dollars into the company alongside other investors. A number of our directors and insiders have been doing that over a number of years and are very committed and we all think as shareholders first. I mean, we're not in this for a job. We're in this to create significant shareholder value. So very well aligned through that 39% ownership. In terms of since I began and when a number of the institutional investors who I've worked with over the last 10 or 15 years heard that I was coming in as CEO and Doug was stepping up as chairman and Greg Smith was coming back full-time VP exploration, they were quite keen to get involved in the company and back us. So a number of those institutions are groups out of London who I worked with, and we were able to give them a part of the private placement that we did in May, and then we ultimately went and bid for a block of stock, which represented about 17% of the company. And to date, we've gone from about 0% institutional to about 20% institutional ownership. And I think that's very beneficial for a company of our size to be able to have deep-pocketed, long-term, precious metals and mining investors supporting the company and sharing the same vision as management as we look to grow the company and significantly add shareholder value. And then the other thing I'd touch on, I guess, while we're on the capital markets topic is the coverage that we've received from the various investment banks out of Toronto. So to date, we've had Cormark, Haywood, Raymond James, and Stifel initiate on us, and having that support from top tier investment banks out of Toronto is obviously very helpful for us to execute on our vision of growing this company.
Now, what about cash in the bank? You mentioned a fundraising that happened in May that raised about $3 million. What does the company have in the bank? How much is this 8,000-meter program going to cost?
So to date, we've got about $2.3 million. The way I'd look at our cash position is when we did that $3 million raise, the way we looked at that is we want to put as much money as we possibly can into the ground, but then leave ourselves a healthy 12-month of cash balance to weather any storms and ultimately run the business. So that led us to coming up with an 8,000-meter program. And ultimately, I would look at our cash position as when we complete our 8,000-meter program, we'll have 10 or 12 months of runway to run the business.
All right. And final comments here then, Luke, is news flow. Should investors be focused on, it sounds like, a pretty steady stream of results coming probably to year end?
Absolutely. So we put out September 28th. We put out our first batch of drill results from our 8,000 meter program. That was 13 holes, as we mentioned earlier. We'll look to continue to put out batches of 10 to 15 drill results at a time. So expect another, call it, three or four releases based on those numbers. And then the other thing that we're looking at is, given the significant increase in our in-pit resource from 721,000 ounces in the 2015 PEA to our updated resource of 1.22 million ounces of inferred resource, we are going to look at potentially updating our PEA as well. The economics on our historic PEA from 2015 at 1560 gold were after-tax NPV of $130 million and a 43% IRR at 1560 gold. So we think with the uptick in the number of in-pit ounces that we got from that updated resource, we could potentially add to our overall NPV, which is a real nice underpinning of of the valuation for the company. But ultimately, I think the way the listeners should think of Nucor is this is district scale exploration opportunity, and we're going to continue to aggressively drill and look to expand the overall size of the resource. But we will also look at continuing to update our PEA and various economic studies to create a nice underpinning of the valuation for shareholders.
All right, Luke, I appreciate the update. And hey, everyone that's listening, please give me your thoughts on this company. It's an interesting one to me, a great management team and a drill program that should continue to, well, yield some results. Let's see what the rest of those results are for this exploration program. Again, Nucor is traded TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NCAU. Luke, thanks for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Corey. Appreciate it.